So my name is Chris Toms. I'm the assistant youth pastor here at Calvary, and I've been given the honor of speaking to you this morning. I also had the honor of speaking this last Thursday at the class of 2013's baccalaureate celebration, which was just awesome. I enjoyed every moment of it, so I'm getting kind of a busy speaking weekend, which is great. Gets to help me get better at this. So you guys are just, you're with me here helping me get better, and I appreciate it. So today, I would like to talk to you about a spiritual discipline that I feel gets overlooked in our busy society, in our busy culture. We always have something going on. There's always, you know, grandkids sports game, kids sports game, we've got music going, we've got movies, TV, iPhones, iPods, Facebook, all this kind of stuff. There's always something going on. We are an increasingly busy society. We get so wrapped up in these things with our jobs, with our favorite TV shows, with music, with everything, that we forget to make room for the simple practice of what I like to call quiet time with God. Quiet time with God. Something that we actually do at our camps during the summer with our teenagers is every day there is some time carved out in their schedule for them to spend quietly with their Creator. We encourage them to go find a place where they can be by themselves, take their Bible, take their devotional, and just be with God. And it's something that we overlook completely, like I said, in these increasingly busy times. And this quiet time with God is this discipline called solitude. The discipline of solitude. Something that I feel like is increasingly diminishing as we go on with time. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline. And I stumbled upon this book recently. In my life, I recognize that discipline is one of the things that I struggle with. I'm not a very disciplined person. It's something I need to get better at. And I'm not always focused on what I need to be focused on. As the Apostle Paul says, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. I struggle with that. I struggle with maintaining discipline. And so I was searching for something to help me with this, and I found this book. Celebration of Discipline is the title, and I figured, what better name for a book when I need discipline than Celebration of Discipline? So I started reading this book, and I found it to be incredible. It's a look at 12 spiritual disciplines and practical application points for the reader. Really simple. It's a great book that I highly recommend for any of you that are looking to just increase the disciplines in your life, meditation, prayer, study of God's word, all these things. It's a wonderful book for that. And of these 12, one of them was solitude. And Richard Foster had this to say about solitude. What we must clearly understand and underscore is that our real task in solitude is to create a space in our lives where God can reach us. Once that space has been created, we wait quietly, expectantly. From this point on, the work belongs to God. We must seek out the recreating stillness of solitude if we want to be with others meaningfully. We must seek the fellowship and accountability of others if we want to be alone safely. We must cultivate both if we are to live in obedience. Our relationships with other people will benefit from a healthy practice of solitude. And at the same time, a healthy practice of solitude will benefit from healthy relationships with other people. The two work hand in hand. We must have healthy relationships when we're with others, along with having a healthy relationship with our Creator when we are alone. We must be able to practice solitude. And I love the way he describes what solitude, the purpose. We must clearly understand that it is to create space in our lives where God can reach us. So as we look at this increasingly busy society, are we creating space? Are we creating opportunities for God to reach us? And I think it's something we all need to work on. And like I said, this is something that I struggle with. And when I'm given the opportunity to to speak to you, I usually speak on something that I need to work on. So you're getting what I need to work on. Well, you're just going to get to work on it along with me. So in 2005, I joined an organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And as I share this story, I want you to think, can we get beyond the noise? Can we get beyond the noise that we live in to allow God to reach us? Can we get beyond the noise that we live in to allow God to reach us? In 2005, I joined this organization called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. It's the largest missions organization in the world. And I moved to New Haven, Connecticut, home of Yale University. And I studied the Word of God there. I was trained on how to be a missionary. I was there for about 5 months doing this training. And part of our routine, part of our schedule in the school was every day we had around 30 minutes, sometimes up to an hour, scheduled quiet time with God. It was required of us every day, at least 30 minutes. Sometimes it was up to an hour. And I will tell you that when they told me this on the orientation, said, yeah, every day you're going to be spending some quiet time with God, I was a little bit frightened. Because the thought of being silent, being quiet, and sitting and resting in God was intimidating. If you know me at all, if you get to know me, I'm not a quiet person. I'm not good at this silent solitude. That's not exactly second nature to me. I have to really try at this. So as time went on, I was observing this quiet time, and it felt just frustrating because I would get so distracted. I could not maintain my focus. I'd be sitting there picking grass, you know, twiddling my thumbs, daydreaming about stuff. Like, oh, what if tomorrow I'm walking down the street and some guy pulls over his car and is like, hey, I have this brand new guitar I want you to have. Cool, that would be so awesome. You know, like, these daydreams are, like, going through my head instead of really focusing on what God has for me. And then we did something called a silent retreat. And a silent retreat is exactly what it sounds like. It's an opportunity to get away from what you have going on and observe silence and rest in the presence of God. So we went to the Connecticut coast on the Long Island Sound, the rocky, craggy New England coast, and there was a house there that we stayed in, and it was surrounded by woods. And we arrived the night before, discussed what the day was going to look like the next day. When the sun came up the next morning, we were to begin observing silence until the sun went down that evening. And we were also encouraged to go out and be by ourselves, be alone, be out in the wilderness, be in God's creation. So I woke up that next morning, sun came up, and I was terrified of the thought of being silent and alone for an entire day. It was just daunting thinking about doing that. But I started, I went out into the woods, and all I took with me, all they let us take with us was a journal, food or water, if we wanted to have food or water, and that was pretty much it. They gave us the opportunity. They said, if you would like to, if you're able to, we encourage you to fast during this time, and I chose to do that as well. So I had with myself a bottle of water, a journal, and a knife. And I have no idea why I brought the knife. I know I was going to be in the woods or something, and I was like, I'm going to take a knife. You know, I'm a guy. I want a knife with me. Made no sense why I brought a knife. I don't know. So I walk out into the woods that morning, and I'm by myself, and I'm silent, and nature's going on all around me. And there's so many different things going on, and I'm like, I'm so bored already. It's been like 5 minutes, and I don't have a phone or anything. What am I going to do? And so I was like, I know, I'll whittle some sticks. I'll carve some sticks, you know. So I, like, find a big, long stick and start, like, carving it into a spear. Because I'm a guy, and I was bored, and I had nothing better to do, and I had a knife. So I, like, carve this spear, and I'm just sitting there, like, my brain is just going crazy in silence and solitude. And I contemplated, literally for, like, an hour, I sat there and thought to myself, would I be able to kill a bear if a bear attacked me? With this spear that I have fashioned. And like an hour of thinking about this goes by because I have nothing else to do. And so then I make my way down to the waterfront, and there's all these, you know, rocks and everything that form sort of the beach or whatever in this part of the New England coast. And I decided, and it was really stormy that day, windy, rainy. And I decided I was going to fashion for myself a shelter. I'm going to build myself a shelter. I've got this whole day. I've got a knife. I'm going to build a shelter. I don't know how a knife's really going to help that, but decided I was going to do it. And so, you know, I'm building this shelter, and I'm trying to, like, dwell and focus on, like, okay, how can God speak to me through this? And I'm like, well, God is our shelter in times of trouble and all these different things, you know, as I'm building the shelter. But in reality, the whole time I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I'm building the shelter. I'm doing this. I'm making this. Look what I can do. And I'm building the shelter. And I finally get done, like, an hour later, and I crawl underneath this little shelter. And not more than like 10, 15 seconds after I get under there, this giant gust of wind comes through and just blows the whole thing over. And I'm just sitting there like on these rocks with all these sticks around me, just rain pouring on me, just like, God, what are you trying to tell me? And I'm just realizing like, wait, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm getting. It's not about what I can do. This is about me creating space for God to reach me. And once that realization hit me, the rest of the day, probably like 8 hours, just flew by. And it was incredible. I sat in silence. I observed God's creation. And he spoke to me in deeper ways than I'd ever been spoken to before. Just clear, like the sense that I had of God just repeatedly telling me, I love you. I made you for a purpose. It was exactly what I needed to hear. And that's exactly what he reached me with when I created that space. And from then on, when we came back home, we did our quiet time from then on in our schedule. I loved it. I looked forward to it every single time because I knew I can get beyond the noise. I can get past all of that and create space for me and God to communicate. And it was incredible. I loved that quiet time. And it's something that I still love when I get to do it and something I still need to make more space for. Many people in the Bible made solitude a part of their lives. Jesus practiced solitude throughout his life and ministry. We are called to be Christ-like, so I believe that when Jesus sets an example of something, it's something important for us to follow. At the beginning of his ministry, he went to the wilderness for an extended period of fasting and prayer. We see this in Matthew chapter 4. He sought solitude prior to preaching in Mark chapter 1. And also after he had healed a leper in Mark chapter 1. He sought solitude after hearing about the death of John the Baptist, after his followers had been involved in ministry, and before he chose the disciples in Luke chapter 6. He sought solitude. At the end of his life, he sought solitude in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. Before our Savior willingly went to the cross to die and pay for our sins, he practiced solitude. He spent time alone with God the Father. He practiced solitude. I have a video that I would like for us to watch that I feel effectively drives home the value and the need that we have for quiet time with God, for solitude, for silence. And I'm going to give you a warning on this video here. There's going to be some awkward silence in the video. There's going to be a lot of silence in this video. There's going to be some words kind of popping up on the screen during that silence for us to sort of contemplate, for us to think about. And so what I encourage you is during this video, during the times of silence in this video, allow yourself to let go of the noise, let go of everything around you, and really focus on what God has for you this morning. Let's go ahead and watch the video.
I was reading about this guy named Bernie Krause who records nature sounds for film and television. And he was saying that in 1968, in order to get 1 hour of undisturbed natural sound, like no airplanes, no cars, it would take him about 15 hours of recording time. And he was saying that today, in order to get that same 1 hour of undisturbed sound, it takes him 2,000 hours of recording time. Reminds me of the story of one of the great Jewish prophets, Elijah, who's been going and going, and he's just about at the end. I mean, he's just totally stressed, just totally fried, and doesn't even know if he wants to go on. And God says, Elijah, go up on the mountain because I'm going to show up. And so Elijah goes up on the mountain. And so this wind comes on the mountain and it like shakes the mountain violently, but God isn't in the wind. And then there's this earthquake, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then like this massive fire covers the mountain, but God isn't in the fire. And then comes the still small voice of God. Now, there's all this discussion about what exactly this voice is, because some people think that the actual Hebrew word doesn't even refer to a sound that you could like hear with your ears, like an audible noise. And so some translators translate the phrase that God was in the sound of sheer silence. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God was in the silence.
1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Elijah was in a desperate place. He came to a point where he said it would be better for him to die than to continue to live. Have any of you been in that sort of a place? Are any of you in a desolate place? Are any of you in a desperate place? He needed to hear from his Maker. Elijah needed to be comforted by God. And he was not told to make joyful noises with the harp and the lyre. He was not told to yell and scream his devotion. He was not told to preach to the masses. He was told to go to a quiet place. He was told to be in the presence of God. When we are in these dark, desolate places that we often come to in our lives, many times what we need is to be in the presence of our Creator, to hear His still, small voice. Like I heard out in the woods, out on the coast, His small voice whispering to me, "I love you. I have made you for a purpose. I am in control." We need to rest in the presence of God. Is God speaking to us, but we can't hear him through the noise? Are we in a place in our lives where there's so much going on around us that God might be trying to reach out for us, but we can't even tell that it's him because of all the things going on? Is God trying to speak through us to us through the noise? Now, there are many ways to build the practice of solitude in our lives. These include regular alone times with God, preferably on a daily basis. It's good to plan special times, maybe weekly or monthly, where we can spend a few hours to a day in solitude. We have to make this a priority. We have to be willing to make this a routine, to make this part of what we do, part of who we are, part of our everyday plans. Solitude rarely happens unless we schedule it. Therefore, the first step is to get out our calendar and schedule time in solitude. Determine where you might be able to spend some daily time. Schedule it as you would an appointment. Then schedule a time where you can spend even extended periods of time alone, maybe every once in a while. You know as well as I do that in our busy lives, unless we make something a priority and schedule it, we're probably not going to get to it. We have to make this a priority. Put it in your schedule. Think about where you feel most at peace. Some people like the beach. Some people like the mountains. Some, it might be this certain spot in your backyard. It's important to note that nature is usually a good spot for this. It's usually good to get out into his creation, see his wonder, his awe, the amazing things that he has created will help us to get in touch with him, help us create that space for him to reach us. Think about several places right now where you might be able to practice solitude. Several places that you know right now, that's a good place for me to go to be alone with my Creator. And my challenge for you today is to find a place this week where you can practice solitude in the midst of your day. Find somewhere this week where you can practice solitude. You might be finding a quiet, peaceful spot during your lunch hour. Maybe it's first thing when you wake up in the morning, you're having a cup of coffee. You spend some quiet time with your Creator. I know for me, a lot of times, if I'm really busy, I'll take the time that I'm in the shower. And that's my time to just be alone, be quiet, rest in God's presence. We need to take the steps necessary to get beyond the noise and hear the still small voice of God. As it says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you have done in our lives, for what you are doing and what you are going to do. We stand in awe of you, our Creator, and we give you the glory. Lord, help us do what is necessary to find time to spend with you. Help us to stay focused. Help us, give us the energy, give us the strength to practice solitude. Lord, help us find people to come around us to help us, hold us accountable. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship you've given us in this church body. We know that you are good, that your plans are right, and that we can trust in you. Lord, we give you control of our lives. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.